welcome to a half hour of Mind Webs. Short stories from the worlds of speculative fiction. This is Michael Hansen. This half hour of Mind Webs begins with a story by Eric Frank Russell. The copyright date is 1954 by Ziff Davis Publishing Company, and the title is Appointment at Noon. Henry Curran was big, busy, and impatient of triflers. He had the build of a wrestler, the soul of a tiger, and his time was worth $1,000 an hour. He knew of nobody who rated more. And crime did not pay? Bah. Jungle tactics paid off for Henry. The entire opposition had been conditioned out of men by what is called civilization. Entering his spacious office with the swift, heavy tread of a large man in fighting trim, Henry slung his hat onto a hook, glanced at the wall clock, noted that it registered 10 minutes to 12. Planting himself in the seat behind his desk, he kept his expectant gaze upon the door through which he had entered. His wait lasted about 10 seconds. Scowling at the thought of it, Curran reached over and thumbed a red stud on his big desk.
"What's wrong with you?"
he snapped when Miss Reed came in.
"What's the matter with you? You get worse every day. Old age creeping over you or something?"
She posed, tall, neat, and precise, facing him across the desk, her eyes wearing a touch of humility born of fear. And Curran employed only those about whom he knew too much.
"I'm sorry, Mr. Curran, I was..."
"Never mind the alibi. Be faster, or else. Speed's what I like, see? Speed."
"Yes, Mr. Curran."
"Has Lerardo phoned in yet?"
"No, Mr. Curran."
"Well, he should be through by now if everything went all right."
He viewed the clock again, tapped irritably on his desk.
"If he's made a mess of it, and the mouthpiece comes on, I'll tell him to let Lerardo stew. He's in no position to talk anyway. A spell in jail will teach him not to be so stupid."
"Yes, Mr. Curran. There's an old..."
"Shut up until I've finished. Now, if Mickelson calls up and says the Firefly got through, ring Voss and tell him without delay. And I mean without delay. That's important."
He mused a moment and finished.
"There's that meeting downtown at 12:20. God knows how long it'll go on, but if they want trouble, they can have it aplenty. If anyone asks, you don't know where I am, and you don't expect me back before 4.
"But, Mr. Curran..."
"You heard what I said. Nobody sees me before 4.
"There's a man already here."
She got out with sort of apologetic breathlessness.
"He said you have an appointment with him at 12:02.
"And you fell for a gag like that?"
He studied her with open contempt.
"I can only repeat what he said. He seemed quite sincere."
That's a change. Sincerity in the outer office. He's got the wrong address. Go tell him to spread himself across the tracks."
"I said you were out and didn't know when you would return. He took a seat and said he'd wait because you would be back at 10:40.
Involuntarily, they both stared at the clock. Curran bent an arm, eyed his wristwatch by way of checking the accuracy of the instrument on the wall.
"That's what the scientific big brains would call precognition. I call it a lucky guess. 1 minute either way would have made him wrong. You ought to back horses. Well, push him out, or do I have to get the boys to do it for you?"
"Oh, that won't be necessary. He's old and blind."
"I don't give a damn if he's armless and legless. That's his tough luck. Give him the rush."
Obediently, she left. A few moments later, she was back with the martyred air of one compelled to face his wrath.
"I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Curran, but he insists that he has a date with you for 12:02. He is to see you about a personal matter of major importance."
Curran scowled at the wall. The clock said 4 minutes to 12.
I know no blind man, and I don't forget appointments. Now, throw him down the stairs.
She hesitated, standing there wide-eyed.
I'm wondering whether...
Out with it.
I was wondering whether he's been sent to you by someone who'd rather he couldn't identify you by sight.
He thought it over and said...
Yeah, could be. You use your brains once in a while. Well, what's his name?
He won't say.
Nor state his business?
No.
Well, I'll give him 2 minutes. If he's panhandling for some charity, he'll go through the window. Tell him time is precious, and now show him in.
She went away and brought back the visitor, gave him a chair. The door closed quietly behind her. The clock said 3 minutes before the hour. Kieran lounged back and surveyed his caller, finding him tall, gaunt, and white-haired. The oldster's clothes were uniformly black, a deep, somber, solemn black that accentuated the brilliance of the blue, unseeing eyes staring from his colorless face. Those strange eyes were the other's most noteworthy feature. They held a most curious quality of blank penetration, as if somehow they could look into the things they could not look at. And they were sorry. Sorry for what they saw. For the first time in his life, feeling a faint note of alarm, Kieran said,
What can I do for you?
Nothing. Nothing at all, responded the other, his low, organ-like voice, pitched at no more than a whisper, and with its sounding, a queer coldness came over the room. He sat there unmoving and staring at whatever a blind man can see. The coldness increased, became bitter. Kieran shivered despite himself. He scowled and got a hold on himself.
Don't take up my time. State your business or get the hell out.
People don't take up time. Time takes up people.
What the blazes do you mean? Who are you?
You know who I am. Every man is a shining sun unto himself until dimmed by his dark companion.
You're not funny.
I am never funny. The tiger light blazed in Kieran's eyes as he stood up, placed a thick, firm finger near his desk stud.
Enough of this tomfoolery. What do you want?
Suddenly extending a lengthless, dimensionless arm, death whispered sadly, "You." And took him at exactly 2 minutes to 12. Appointment at Noon, copyright 1954 by Ziff Davis Publishing Company.